And no doubt he could have called 10,000 angels. And thank the Lord that he didn't, though. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he finished the work that God gave him to do, and that was the cross. That was the whole purpose of the Lord Jesus coming, was to go to Calvary. He was born to die upon Calvary. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter number 4. I like all the books of the Bible, all the books of the Old Testament and New Testament, but the book of Philippians has always been a favorite of mine. It's just a, I don't know, just the content in it or what, the message maybe, but it's always been a favorite of mine. I've enjoyed studying, reading, preaching from the book of Philippians. There's just so much there that we can get. Tonight I want to think on one thought from Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7, and I want to bring the message entitled, The Pathway to Peace. The Pathway to Peace. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of God's Word. Just read the one verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. The Scripture says, And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the privilege of being back in your house, being together with the saints of God. Lord, we're here to worship you tonight in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I pray that we'd be able to do that, Lord, and that we'd honor you in all that is done. Father, I thank that we've lifted up the name of Jesus and honored you through the music and through the singing. And Lord, how you've blessed our hearts. And I just pray now that you would bless the message and challenge us through it tonight. And Lord, may the Word of God be a comfort and a help. Lord, may it convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment where it needs to. Lord, may it be everything that we stand in need of. Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that you do tonight, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When we think on the subject of peace, I'm going to tell you, peace is something that everyone, I guess, in the world is looking for. If you were to ask most people tonight what they most desire, what they most want, it would probably be peace. You could ask people that around about, what is your greatest desire? What is your greatest desire for America? That there might be peace. What is your greatest desire for this world? That there might be peace. We know from the Word of God, though, that as he says in the book of John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus uttered these words when he said, that in me ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now what was the Lord saying? The Lord was saying, don't expect peace in this world. If you remember the words of the Lord Jesus when he said that he came not to bring peace on this earth, but a what? A sword. A sword. But we do know that God can give us wonderful peace. What is peace? Peace can be described as the opposite of war. You think about all the conflict of wars down through the generation that are fueled by hatred, by greed, by other things that are out there today that have created wars throughout this land, disagreements. Peace is the opposite of conflict. Peace is the opposite of problems. Peace is the opposite of trouble. In fact, the Bible reminds us that there is no peace for the wicked. One of the very verses that the Lord used in my heart back many years ago to speak to me about my lost condition, though I was religious, but very lost. But one thing that I lacked in that life and in my personal testimony was peace. Peace with God. Isaiah 57, verse 20 and 21 says, But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. My life was in turmoil. My life was shipwrecked. There was no joy. There was no happiness. And there was no peace from God in my lives. I think about Job and what he said when in describing life in general. He said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of what? Trouble. Trouble. What was Job saying? Job was saying our life is filled with conflict. Our life is filled with problems. Our life is filled with tribulation, with anguish and distress. Look what Job went through. Look at the tragedy that struck Job's home and all these things. But we find that one thing that Job had, even in the midst of the storms in his life and the troubles that surrounded his life, he had peace with God. That's why he was able to say in Job 1:21, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Peace tonight. Peace is not something that can be purchased. It's not something that can be bought. It's not something that can be raffled off. It's not something that can be won. Peace is a gift from God Himself. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus uttered these words when He said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I know we remember these passages of Scripture very well when we think of Matthew chapter 14, and we find the story of Jesus walking on the water to the that night and appearing unto His disciples. And the Bible reminds us that they were afraid. And they thought He was a spirit. They were unsure of who it was. And what did Jesus do? Jesus calmed their fears by uttering these words when He said, peace be unto you. It is I. Be not afraid. Let me say tonight that fear is a terrible thing that will rob you of the wonderful peace of God that passeth all understanding. That's what fear will do. That's why the Bible reminds us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's why He tells us in the book of Proverbs 25 that the fear of man bringeth a snare. In other words, it robs us of that wonderful peace that God wants in our hearts and in our lives. We remember the story in Mark chapter 4. Once again, in the time of storm, we find that there was a great storm on the Sea of Galilee, and the ship was being tossed to and fro, and Jesus was at rest. And the disciples went and awoke the Lord Jesus and said, Master, carest not that we perish? And what were the very words of the Lord Jesus? It was peace. He spoke unto the sea and unto the wind, and He said, peace be still. And the Bible said that there was a great calm. I'm going to tell you that's exactly what the Lord can do in all the trouble. We look at our world. We look at our country today. We're in conflict. We're in trouble. In fact, we're probably going to see in the next 4 years some of the greatest trouble that this country has ever had. But I'm going to tell you tonight, there is peace in the midst of that storm. And there's a pathway that we can follow to experience that wonderful peace of God that passeth all understanding. It begins, first of all, with our relationship with God. Our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now know this, when it comes to peace, there are two types of peace. There is peace with God. Let me say tonight, you'll never have the peace of God that passeth all understanding that the Bible talks about, that our text explains, that we're going to preach about tonight about that pathway to it. You'll never experience that without first experiencing peace with God. There are a lot of people today that do not have peace with God. They've never made that peace with God. You say, preacher, how do they have peace with God? It's through salvation. It's through the new birth. That's the way that we have peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 2 tells us this. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus' death on the cross, the shedding of His precious blood to make an atonement for our sins, is that peacemaker. That peacemaker. Realize tonight that before we were born again, before we were saved, we were at odds with God. We were the enemies of God. I've heard people say, well, I've always loved God. Well, that's what you say, but you really didn't. Before you were born again, before you were washed in the blood of the Lamb, before you received Christ as your personal Savior, you were dead in your trespasses and sin, and you were the enemy of Almighty God. Remember what the Bible said in the book of James chapter 4 and verse number 4 when it describes these people by saying, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And every one of us, before we were born again, before we overcame the world, we were the friends of the world. And therefore, we were the enemies of God. But through Christ's death on the cross and the shedding of His blood and His glorious gift of salvation that He's given to all mankind, we can say, thank the Lord, that we can have peace with God. Today, I'm no longer at odds with God. Today, I'm no longer an enemy of God. Why? Because that pathway to peace has been paved with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can give God all the glory and the praise. But the second type of peace we talk about tonight, and this is the pathway to peace that every single one of us long for, that we desire, and that we pray for, that we experience in our life. And again, let me say, it doesn't matter the storm in our life. It doesn't matter the trouble in our life. It doesn't matter the tribulation in our life. That if we follow this pathway, no matter what we encounter, what we face in life, there will be the peace of God that passeth all understanding that'll help keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is peace in trouble. This is peace in conflict. This is peace in war. This is peace in times of tribulation. Now, what pathway to peace is it? There's several words that I want to point out in the Scripture tonight that points the path, step by step, to experience this pathway to peace with God. Amen? And the first one is found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Bible says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. The word I use here is steadfastness. The word found here is stand fast, which steadfastness and standing fast is the very same meaning. You've heard me explain this before. It's a military term that simply means to hold your ground, not to give up ground, not to compromise. And folks, that is the first step in the pathway to peace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding is where we make a commitment to God, where we make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is so lacking today in our society. It is so lacking today in our homes and families. It is so lacking today in our churches of that strong steadfastness, that commitment. I'm going to tell you, that's why the divorce rate is so high. That's why there's so many churches that are folding. That's why this country today is in shambles. It's because there is no steadfastness. There is no conviction. And sad to say, that's the reason that we're in the mess tonight, is because of that. Back in our early days, the founding of our fathers, I'm going to tell you, they were committed. They were committed first of all to God. Second of all, they were committed to their families. Thirdly, they were committed to the church. And fourthly, they was committed to this country. And I'm going to tell you, we need that tonight. We need that type of commitment. And if we're going to experience peace in the midst of the storm, it will come through that steadfast commitment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the second step to this pathway to peace. And that is unity and harmony. Notice in verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, I beseech Eutychus, and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Now, Paul was dealing here, looking back at some references and some information that I was studying here, that no doubt that there was some trouble. No doubt there was some division going on among these people here, among these ladies here, among this. And what Paul was doing, he was challenging, he was encouraging, he was beseeching them to remain unified and to be in harmony. I'm going to tell you tonight, the second step to that pathway of peace involves unity and harmony. The devil knows what he's doing. The devil knows what he's doing. He wants us to get out of step. He wants us to get out of sort with one another. He wants us to be at one another. As I've said many, many times here in this last year, and with everything going on with the pandemic, I hear time and time and time again of how this has affected families, and how this has affected local churches and ministries and all of that. I hear somebody talking about it just about every week, of things that is going on in their churches around about, and how the devil is using this. I'm going to tell you, it's in times of pandemic, it's in times of trouble, it's in times of stress that this ought to draw us closer together and strengthen our bond of love for God and our love for one another, instead of driving a wedge in and driving us further apart. This is a time that we ought to strive for unity and harmony rather than that. If we want peace, peace with God, that peace of God that passeth all understanding, it requires unity and harmony. We find the third step, and that's the praise of God. The praise of God. In verse number 4, the Apostle Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord. What did he say? Always. That means that every situation. I realize if there's one person in here that knows what this is talking about, it's me. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm not one that likes conflict. I do not like conflict. I do not like trouble. I do not like tribulation. I don't like the trying of my faith. But I'm going to tell you, it's the trying of our faith that worketh patience. It's the trying of our faith that draws us closer to God, that strengthens our resolve. And we need that. And it's in those times when you learn to rejoice. Oh, you may not feel like rejoicing. We sang the song tonight, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. That's one reason that every one of us, hey, we may be on the sick bed. We may be on death's bed. We may be in the bed of trouble. But I'm going to tell you, we can rejoice because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Praising God for what He has done. I think about the old song, it's amazing what praising can do. That's why the Lord has touched my heart over the last several weeks. I've preached several sermons about praising the Lord. I have mentioned it in sermon after sermon here in the last few weeks about how urgent and how important it is for us to lift up God in praise every day, at least 7 times a day. That's what the Scripture tells us. But praising God is a step toward the pathway of peace. We find the next step, and that's found here in our text in verse number 5, and we find the word moderation. Now, let me say here that many times this word is taken out of context. I've heard people justify certain actions within their Christian lives by using the word moderation. The word moderation here simply means not what you may think it does, But it simply means gentleness. Gentleness. And which gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. We are supposed to be possessed with the Spirit of God and be filled with all of these fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. But gentleness, moderation, is a key to the path, to the pathway of finding the peace of God that passeth all understanding. When we talk about gentleness, gentleness is an attribute to where individuals get along with one another. It's a fruit that helps preserve the great product of unity and harmony in our lives. It's gentleness that shows forth the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts through Christ Jesus. It's that kind of gentleness that will help us to the pathway to the peace of God that passeth all understanding. The next step we find here in verse number 6, and that is where the Scripture says, be careful for nothing. The word careful there means to be anxious, or to worry, or possibly even to fret. I'm going to tell you, that is a giant that must be destroyed in all of our lives. It is a giant that will overcome us. It is a giant that will beset us if we allow it to. That's why we have to overcome fear. That's why we have to overcome worry, anxiety. Why we have to remember that God is in control and is God that is working all things together for our good and for His glory. He said, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. We don't have to worry about the virus. We don't have to worry about sickness. We don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about joblessness. We don't have to worry about where our next meal is going to come from. We don't have to worry about anything. Why? Because God is in control, and the Bible reminds us that we're to have faith in God. That's why the psalmist was able to say, I was once young and now I'm old. And I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God will meet your every need. As we'll see in a few moments, Paul described there in verse number 19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And when he said all need, he means all need, everything. The pathway to peace comes through the step of steadfastness and contentment or commitment, unity and harmony, praise with God, moderation and gentleness, faith in God. But we find the next step, and that is prayer. Prayer. It's amazing what praying can do. He reminds us here in verse 6 to be careful for nothing. Don't worry, don't fret, don't be over anxious about anything. But he says, but in everything. And when he says everything, he means everything. Everything by prayer and supplication. There's not one thing that transpires in our life that we ought not to talk to God about. There's not a decision that we make that we ought not to talk to God about before making that decision. Sad to say, over the years, I've heard many people over the years. And sad to say, I've heard some Christian people make this very comment by saying, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to tell you, you're walking on thin ice when that happens. You're walking on dangerous ground when you take matters into your own hands. That's why every decision and every choice that we make ought to be bathed in prayer before we make that decision. I believe it could have turned things around for Lot and his family had Lot spent time in prayer before he made that decision to pitch his tent towards Sodom. In fact, I've had... Over the years, I've had a number of families, but a couple in particular that I think about. They wanted to leave the church back years ago. And it was because our church here at Lighthouse Baptist didn't offer the things that they wanted their children to have. They wanted their little girls to have ballet classes, and they wanted gymnasiums and basketball teams and softball teams for their boys and all of that. And we didn't have that. We didn't offer that. They wanted jazzercise and exercise for the mother of the household. And sad to say, it wasn't something that they had or that we provided here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. And as a result of it, they wound up and left. They left the church, and I went to visit with them, and they told me why they were leaving. And I warned them of the danger of walking away, of getting out of a church that was preaching and teaching the Bible, a church where they were being fed spiritually what they stand in need of. You've heard me make this comment before. There's nothing wrong with basketball or softball or children having game times and all of this. I think you need to have activities for your young people. But I'm going to tell you, when looking for a church, that ought not to be the prerequisite for looking for a church or finding a church or settling into a church just because of what it offers your children. You ought to look to see if you're fed spiritually, if the man of God is preaching and teaching the Bible straight, if the Sunday school department is preaching and teaching the Bible the way it ought to be. That's what ought to, if the music is uplifting and spiritual and doctrinally sound, that's what you ought to be looking for in a church. Sad to say, many of them aren't. I'm saying tonight that every decision that we make needs to be bathed in prayer, because when we step out by ourselves and make our own decisions without God's help, we're asking for trouble. And that's exactly what happened to this family. When they left, it wasn't long till their family started falling apart. Husband and wife divorced, kids going wild, and oh my, the things that transpired with their children after that over the next few years was a tragedy. Could it have been prevented? Sure it could have, if they'd have took the time to pray. That's why I'm saying the pathway to peace tonight is found in these things that I've shared with you tonight, prayer. Then we find the next step to that peace is gratitude. Not only are we to pray about everything, and the Bible says, with thanksgiving. Our lives need to be filled with gratitude. I've quoted this so many times, every one of you ought to be able to know it by heart. But as Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said many years ago, he said, the greatest flower that blooms in a man's heart is gratitude. And when gratitude dies on a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. I'm going to tell you, gratitude. Gratitude is like praise. Gratitude is praise when we're thanking God for what He's done. Let me ask you tonight, is there something tonight that you can think of that you need to thank God for? Have you thanked God today for your health? Have you thanked God today for your food? Have you thanked God today for His provision for you, for the clothes that you have? Have you thanked the Lord today for the money that you have? You say, well, preacher, I don't have a whole lot. You know, it's been said that if you have a $20 bill, if you have a $20 bill, and that's all, you are richer than almost 80% of the rest of the world. $20. You think about the countries, the third world countries out there. A lot of them have never seen $20. Have we not got so much to be thankful for? So much. And we want peace. We want to experience that peace of God that passeth all understanding. then there must be gratitude and thanksgiving that is offered up unto God when He does the miraculous in our lives. The next step is that's having a clear mind and a clear conscience, we find in verse number 8 when he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise," he said, "think on these things." The mind. The mind. The Bible reminds us in the book of Proverbs that as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, I'm not a promoter of, I even forget the man's name who wrote it, but the power of positive thinking. I don't agree with him wholeheartedly on everything, but I'm going to tell you, we do need to think positively. Positively. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your demeanor. It'll change everything about you when we think positive. That's why the Apostle Paul and all the troubles and trials that he went through, if you remember before, when he went before King Agrippa, there in the book of Acts chapter number 24, 25, Paul said to King Agrippa, he said, "I think myself to be happy, O King. I think myself to be happy." I'm going to tell you, we fill our minds with the right thoughts. You keep your nose and your mind and your ears tuned to this garbage on television. The CNNs and the HBOs and the Fox News and all that trash and all that garbage out there. You know what it's going to do? It's going to discourage you. It's going to defeat you. It's going to rob your mind of what's decent and what's right. That's why we ought to fill our minds with God's Word. That's why we ought to meditate day and night in God's Word. That's why the psalmist said in Psalms chapter 1, "Blessed, oh how very happy, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he" what? "Meditate day and night." That's how we can think on the right things, right? You want peace? Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "And he shall keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because thou trustest in him." Amen. We need to keep our mind focused on the Lord. Amen? Amen. We find the next step. And that is the word contentment. Want peace with God? Contentment. Notice what Paul said in verse number 11 of Philippians 4. Paul said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Paul said, "I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in." Do you know he was in a lot of states? A lot of different states. Turn with me over to the book of 2 Corinthians, I believe it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at some of the states that Paul was in. He says in verse number 24, he says, "Of the Jews five times received I 40 stripes, save one." It means that he was getting beaten. Can you be content when you're getting beaten? When you're getting cast into prison? Let's look on. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbery, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, in watching often, in hunger, thirst, fasting often, in cold and nakedness, beside all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in. That's the state he was in. Content. That's the pathway. Contentment is a great, great lesson. Notice what he says in verse 12. I know both how to abase and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Contentment. Contentment. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in. That's one of the greatest lessons and a step toward the pathway of peace that you'll ever have in your life is when you learn the lesson of content. Learn to be satisfied with what God has given. Covetousness, greed, lust is something that has destroyed so many lives when we ought to be content with what we have. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy when he said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Great. I realize you don't like to do without. I don't like to do without either. I'd like to be living in a palace. I'd like to be driving a new Mercedes-Benz truck. They don't even make them, do they? I'd like to be that wealthy to where they'd make me one. But do you know what? I remember the day when I didn't even have a vehicle to drive. I remember the day when I didn't know where my next meal was coming from. That I didn't know that we'd have the money to pay our bills. But we trusted God. And we learned to be content. We learned to be happy. Because happiness is not in happenings, it's in the Lord. Our happiness is in the Lord. Happy is the one that puts their faith and trust in the Lord and learns the lesson of contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we shall carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, therewith be content. I've used this, I've heard preacher after preacher use it before, but you've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer, have you? I remember Brother Gene used to tell this one all the time, this story all the time, about the old man that died, very rich and very wealthy. And oh, he'd just laugh about it. But he'd tell about that old man that died with all of his wealth, and he said, I want to be buried with all my wealth. And all of his friends were gathered around, and they began to ask, and they said, I wonder how much he left behind. I wonder how much this individual left behind. And one fellow said, he left it all. Left it all. There's nothing literally that we can carry possession-wise to heaven. I've said before that the only thing that you and I will ever carry to heaven are those that we've led to Jesus. Those that we've led to Christ. Our families, our children, our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, our co-workers, those that we have led to Christ. You say, well, where do you get that from, preacher? Well, the Bible said in the book of Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6, that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, doing what? Bringing his sheaves with him. One thing I can be assured of is every soul that I have had the privilege of leading to Christ over the year, hey, they'll be in heaven with me. Isn't that a great joy? The peace of God, contentment. Last but not least, we see the next step and the final step and that's confidence in God. If we're going to follow the pathway of peace, we've got to have confidence, assurance in God. How many of you believe that God can tonight? That's amazing, isn't it? That statement says it all. God can. I can't, but God can. There's nothing that God cannot do. As the Bible says in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says, I can do all things. I'm glad it doesn't stop there, aren't you? He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Where does our strength come from? It comes from the Lord. What I do because the Lord enables me to do. Just like the Bible teaches about the vine and the branches. He's the vine, we're the branches. And without Him, we can't do anything. Nothing at all. We've got to have confidence in God. I can't, but God can. And then verse 19, as I quoted a few moments ago, Paul says, but my God. You know, I'm confident tonight that I can do anything that God wants me to do. Anything that God wants me to do. But I'm also confident tonight that my God will supply every need that I have. I'm completely and totally confident in that. He will never, ever let me down. Never. And I'm also confident in this, that He'll never give up on me and He'll never give up on you. Paul said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's still working on me. Amen? Amen and amen. He said, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the kind of peace that we need. But it does not come without a price, does it? That peace does not come without a price. Peace with God does not come without a price. Jesus paid that price on Calvary to give you and I peace with God. The peace of God does not come without a price. And that's the price we must be willing to pay by being steadfast and committed, by living a life of unity and harmony, by praising and rejoicing in the Lord always, by living a life of moderation and gentleness, by having faith in God, by spending time in prayer and in gratitude, by thinking on the right thoughts, by contentment, and by having confidence in God. And even in the midst of the trials and tribulations that we're to face, we can have great peace. Great peace. Great peace. Great peace have they that love thy law. And the Bible said, and nothing shall offend them. I'm thankful for that peace, aren't you? Let's stand tonight with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for that peace that we've longed for, that we've desired, that we've prayed for. Lord, as we're reminded of one of the very first verses that I quoted, where Jesus reminded us that in this world, we're going to have tribulation. Father, we're having it. We're having it right here in the United States of America.